Matt and Kimber's Crack the Code.
Crack the Code.
With Perth Safety Deposit Boxes.
Look at us guys back on the podcast again.
Here we are.
Hey.
All the best bits of the show and another secret little extra bit.
Oh, yes. We've got a little code to tell you about.
Mm. Hit him with a code, Matty.
Okay.
Go for it.
1, 3, 4, 2.
Just a bit slow finding that last number.
Yeah, hang on.
Code accepted.
Yeah, no, that's the right code.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Reset's okay. Happened.
1342.
1342.
You'll that's want the right that code. Tomorrow yeah. when we ask you to call for Crack the Code.
Okay, looking forward to hearing from you then. Get yourself to our breakfast with a mate and also into the draw for that $10,000 gold bar set with an Argyle pink diamond.
1342.
Guys, thanks to Perth Safety Deposit Boxes as well. You
Thank
legends.
You, Perth Safety Deposit Boxes.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, I'm surprised I'm even talking about this, but it rarely happens.
Okay.
So it came to mind. Now, you know, I've had to go to quite a few medical appointments over the last 18 months. I've been recovering from a car accident.
Yeah.
And that kind of means that you end up going to see a lot of specialists.
I bet. Yeah.
Right? And everybody palms you off to someone else and you've got to go to a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these places are just one-off appointments.
Yep.
You know, some of them are like you just go for a review or something and then you're out. And each specialist that you go to, it becomes quite dry and a bit dull because you've got to retell your story every time, right? And tell me where it hurts and all this sort of stuff. And many months ago, I had to go to one of these appointments and I was sitting in the waiting room and I was not looking forward to it because I thought, oh, just another one, here we go. And then the doctor comes out, calls my name, and the doctor is hot.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Hot Whoa. Doctor.
Hot doctor.
Now, I think it's quite
Roger
uncommon. I am rarely impressed by men, I must be honest. Mm. Like, I gravitate to the ones I really like, but everyone else kind of just goes in the same bracket.
Right.
I've been trying for 5 years, Pete.
No luck?
Nothing.
I only just got here. What hope do I have?
I was like, God, this guy's hot. Anyway, one-off appointment. Went home, said to my partner, James, hot doctor today. He says, really? I said, yeah, it just never happens. It was like surprisingly hot.
Uh-huh.
So the joke has been over the last few months that whenever I'm sore or wherever I've got an issue, James will say, so you have to go back and see hot doctor.
Hot doctor, okay, yes.
Right.
And I said, no, I don't need to go back there. He can't help me with anything else. That was just a one-off.
Can't
anyway,
he?
Turns out I had to go back.
Of course you did.
And I had to go back. It was someone else told me, a specialist said I had to go. They said, you've got to go back to that clinic, but not to the same doctor.
Oh, no.
Different doctor.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm texting James. He says, what are you up to? I said, I'm sitting in the clinic of hot doctor's clinic.
Right.
And he says, oh, here we go. And I said, no, but I'm not seeing hot doctor. I'm seeing another guy.
Okay.
He went, okay. So
is that because hot doctor's before the court?
Maybe. So new doctor steps out.
Yeah.
Hot doctor. Round two. Two for two.
Oh, wow.
This clinic.
Where is this clinic? Is it in the Golden Triangle or something?
This clinic is the hot doctor clinic. Two for two. I think it's unbelievable. It never happens. And he actually gave good advice as well.
Oh, really?
Unbelievable.
Can you remember?
No.
Sport can be good on a Saturday. It can be great on a Sunday. And with clean heat, that's bloody awesome on a Barra Monday.
Certainly is. Barra, good morning to you, mate.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Great to see you all and great intro again, Matty. Thank you. Great weekend of footy. Not so much for your team, Pete, Frio, as their injuries hit the dreaded Baker's Dozen. They got 13 out now. 13.
Michael Friedrich going down on Sunday.
Wrecking his ankle. Reece Conker doing his hammy. Jeez, they've had no luck. But elsewhere, the Eagles finally had a win on the road this year. Hadn't won at the MCG for almost 2 years. So that is
since the last grand final.
Yeah, it
almost
feels like that, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, it's the home of footy, and really that's where most of the big finals are played, so you've got to learn to win there. The only downside was Josh Kennedy may have a little calf injury. Kimber, at 33, it's not what you want. It's called the old man's injury, the calf injury.
Is it really?
I can relate.
33 is old in footy.
Kimber had that at 21.
Hopefully it's just precautionary and he came off a bit like he's, the way he likes his coffee, decaffeinated.
Oh, yeah.
He was a bit calf-hearted after the game as well, I believe. Came off about...
at least the joke was calf felt.
He'd run a calf marathon, though, Pat.
Guys,
anyway,
I can only press these so many times.
Some really heartwarming scenes too, Pete, at the weekend. Uh-huh. Some really dodgy ones too. But first to the good stuff, Melbourne. Now, the Melbourne Footy Club, they won 8 straight games. So they're undefeated, the only undefeated team. There's their song. And one of the most amazing things, they haven't won a flag in 57 years, okay?
Wow.
So they won
a
premiership 57 years. And when that song was being played around the ground, their greatest player, Ronald Dale Barassi.
Yes.
Have you guys heard of Ron Barassi?
Of course.
Ron Barassi, yeah, sort of famous name. He's 85. He was singing the song in the crowd and it just made everybody so pumped to see the old man there and getting so excited that maybe the drought of 57 years might be over.
Yeah,
And hope for all the other teams that have still got 56 years ahead of this.
Yeah, well, I think that's...
Never give up.
And how wonderful would it be for Neil Danaher too, if Melbourne could get a flag.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah, because he was in the crowd with Adam Simpson.
Oh, was he?
Simo and some of the Eagles boys went with him. And he is fighting on so strongly. That guy is remarkable.
With the motor neuron disease, ice plunge challenge and whatnot.
And he was in the crowd as well. So, yeah, wonderful scenes. Thanks for mentioning that as well. On the downside, there's a couple of interesting things. Oh, I actually did like this because Port Adelaide, they had a big blue with the AFL about Port Adelaide traditionally have this prison bar jumper.
Okay. Like Collingwood's.
Like Collingwood's, but and they reckon they invented it. But when they came into the AFL said, no. Collingwood has that. Collingwood said, don't touch it. Eddie got really fired up and they wouldn't let him wear it. And they wanted to wear it in the showdown against the Crows. They beat the Crows. So what they did was, this is how pathetic men are sometimes, Kimber.
After the game,
they went into the change rooms and they put on their prison bars jumper and they took photos.
How tough.
To make a statement to the AFL to sort of thumb their noses at the AFL and Eddie Maguire.
Sure.
So I can understand.
Do you have a problem? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I actually quite like it. I mean, they sell a lot of jumpers because it's a fantastic jumper over there and it lets them celebrate as well. On the downside, one of our ex-players, a West Coast Eagles premiership player, Scotty Lycett, he tackled one of the Crows guys, knocked him out, and he got online trolls like you wouldn't believe.
Why don't we all just get offline? Why don't we all do it together? We'll just shut it all down. I think we'd all be much happier.
I know, it's so cowardly and so anonymous. And they even threatened his family. They said, we know where your parents live.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
It's just horrible. And if they knew his dad, he played 1,000 games for South Australian footy until he was about 50. There's no way they'd been in a lot of strife. Mm. They went around there. But they never do. They're in their mum's attic, you know, or basement.
Yeah.
Punching out these things. So
that's the scary thing for me is maybe it's not. It's actual grown-ups. It's adults. It's not like these 15-year-olds that we think are being. It's grown-ups, humiliating part
about
it all.
Yeah.
With no consequences. And the Wildcats, as we go out, the Wildcats, they're going to win the league again. 3 straight, I reckon. They're just magnificent over the weekend. And they got this guy, Will Magne, a former NBA player. He hasn't started playing yet. So he's playing on Thursday. He's their new recruit. So they are going to be unbeatable. Oh, and the big news. Sorry, before I go, I forgot about the big news. Finally, how about this? At 2 a.m. this morning, history made in Australian esports. First time ever we've got into the group stage and an international event. A lazy couple of million people watching, including the great man, Pete. You got to see him on social media.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barra.
He was going off.
Real excitement.
And he's at home at 2 a.m. with his headphones on, trying not to wake up the family.
I know. It was very passionate.
This is like our esports team. This is the Perth esports team. This is pentanet.gg. I'm the general manager. And in all of the history of what was the Oceanic Pro League, League of Legends, you can Google that stuff, and now the LCO, an Australian team has never made it past the group stage, and we did it at 2 o'clock in this morning. Half a world away in Iceland, the boys did it against Germany. We did it,
the Reykjavik Raiders.
And just quickly, Barra, I know we're running late, but just quickly, Barra, I wanted to play you the moment. I want to play you the moment. Okay. Have
incredible.
A listen to this.
Yeah, please.
Hear if you can understand what's going on.
Nanasik getting himself back, but no Kha'Zix ulti is a big problem for the upcoming team fight. Decoy goes in with a dredge line onto the enemy support. Nanasik's already dead. Praedith going in, looking for another. Lodic's going to be taken down. Double kill over to the Oceanic AD carry. Victor ulti's looking to do some work, but work will not be done. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in international competition, Oceania will make it past the first round. You can take apart the region, you can take apart the players, but you'll never take the heart out of them.
Oh, beautiful.
Pentanet.gg. Oh, how good is it? Goosebumps, you guys.
Out on a high note. Well done, sir.
Well done.
Just a quick shout out to Tyrone Waigana as well, who is a local Noongar indigenous artist who designed the international jersey for us as well, which I'm reading today. So
they're
wearing today. So, yes. All right, Barra.
Brilliant day. Well done, mate.
Brilliant day.
Well
done.
You got to see those pictures of Pete celebrating. Very funny.
It is. Oh, we will. Don't worry.
Very good. Thank you, mate. What was your partner doing when the baby came? Let me walk you through this.
Please. Yes. So, you know, if people don't know, we lost you for a couple of days there because you thought you were about to have your third child.
Yes.
And to be fair, you were at the hospital and your wife was going through contractions, so it seemed legit.
It was really real. So I wasn't here Thursday morning, wasn't here Friday morning, and what happened was it was late Wednesday night, and I was, as usual, snoring my head off. And my wife, Liz, woke me up, and she said, I think this is it. I'm having contractions. And so we sat there and we started timing them. Mm-hmm. And they were sort of every 3-4 minutes. And the thing that you're told on your third baby is that in a snap, this baby can arrive.
Right.
So we called the hospital. We're like, this is happening. They were like, okay, baby number 3, get yourselves in here. Mm-hmm. Mum and dad came over because we've got 2 young daughters as well. Took over the reins for Izzy and Mila, who are both asleep still. We took off to the hospital. And we got there and we settled in. And, by settled in, I suppose, I pulled out the futon bed that they had there and I promptly went to sleep.
Oh, did you? Great support.
I've got
Great
you back, support. Honey. I'm yeah, totally yeah, here for you.
Which Love is, you, darling.
Wake me if you need me.
It's nothing unusual.
No,
and if
sure.
the question is, what was your partner doing when the baby came? Well, for me, up until this point, snoring my head off.
Uh-huh.
It was the same with Mila. It was the same with Izzy. And up until that point, the same with number 3. But anyway, it got to around about 5 o'clock in the morning and my wife was dilated to a degree and was having contractions and the nurses were saying and midwives, this is going to happen. And the gynecologist came in and said, okay, after checking Liz over, sorry, but this isn't happening.
Right.
And the contractions stopped. And what it's called is false labor.
Okay.
So it happens, right? Anyway, as he's sending us out, he says to us, so it's your third baby. Here's what I need you to do. How far away do you live from the hospital? We said around about 20 minutes. And he went, oh, is that it? Mm. 20 minutes. Okay. Because it's the third baby.
Mm.
Quite literally, if the contractions come on, it could be minutes before Liz starts delivering.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. So if this happens, say, this morning.
Well, here's the
while
deal.
You're here with us.
I have to go 30 minutes to get home.
Yes.
To get to Liz. At the same time, my parents have to go 20 minutes to get to our house to look after the kids.
Yeah.
And then Liz and I have to travel another 20 minutes. So it's an hour turnaround, pretty much. So there's a fair chance that if Liz was to call my phone right now and say, this is happening, I wouldn't make it in time and she's probably having the baby on the kitchen floor.
And then you're going to be the guy who, when they go, and so how was the birth? Well, actually, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
He was at work.
What was your partner doing when the baby came?
Mm.
Where were they? What were they up to? And look, it's not a, you know, they were doing anything wrong. They were just going about their business. It's not a crime.
And in your case, I mean, you have to work. You know, it's not your fault, but there could be stories, I'm sure, of, you know what, I will go on that footy trip. I think we'll be all right.
Brenda in Brookdale, good morning to you. What was your partner doing when the baby came?
Well, good morning to you guys first.
Thank you.
I was delivering my 4th child. And my then husband decided he wanted to go and watch the AFL. So he was in the parent room. And because I have quick and spontaneous births, and of course, every birth you have does get quicker, just to answer your question. And he missed the whole thing. It was over in 15 minutes.
And what, he was only about 10 metres away in the parents' room?
Yeah, about that. And it was my fourth, but his first. Oh. So he missed it because he wanted to watch, because he's Victorian.
Oh, wow.
That says it all, really.
And no one had time to go and grab him. No nurse to run out there and go, hey, P.S., mate, there's something happening in this other room you might be interested in.
She was already there.
Or worse, they go, he's like, yeah, no, hang on, hang on. He's kicking for goal here.
Maria in Southlake, good morning to you. What was your partner doing when the baby came?
Oh, hi, good morning. Well, husband is doing some parties in the office.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, he was having a party at the office.
Yeah. No, because I have this 12-hour labor and the baby's still not going out because it's my first and it is his first son. So the doctor said, oh, the baby's not coming out. Can you please get out, go away, go to work maybe? So he did. And when he was there, mates were like telling him, oh, can you have some food for us because you're having your first son? And so he did. So he bought some food, he bought some drinks. They were like celebrating. And then after work, he came back to the hospital and I'm still on labor.
Oh, man, there you go. So close. Kelly in Rockingham, hi.
Hi.
What was your partner doing?
Well, Pete, I hate to burst your bubble, but it does happen fast.
Okay.
And sometimes the daddy is the one who has to deliver the baby. So my husband was there, very there, because he was the one that was delivering the baby.
And where were you, Kelly?
So we live in Rockingham and we were trying to get to St. John of God, Subiaco.
Oh.
And one of the path that my husband had formulated to get there was to go down Anketell Road around the corner from Speedway. And there he was, born outside of Speedway in Kwinana, on the side of the road, in the car.
Oh, fantastic.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Were you both, was that a really impressive moment where you both stepped up and went, look at this, we're capable of delivering our own baby. Nothing
absolutely.
Can stop us.
Yeah, my husband is an IT nerd, so he's not a practical person at all, and he had to do the most practical thing in the world. So it's amazing how your body just knows what to do, and it just, we were very lucky and he came, was our number two. So he came out very easily and kind of looked at each other and we're like, wow.
I mean,
had a baby on the side of the road in Kwinana.
Can it get any better than holding a newborn child and knowing when the next supercars event is?
Exactly. Yeah.
Shame about the upholstery on the back seat though.
Yeah, I know. When we had the car detailed, the guy was like, the car hasn't been cleaned for a while. And we're like, no, it hasn't been cleaned for a very long time.
Good on you, Kelly. I appreciate that.
He got his break in stand-up comedy right here in Perth and these days hangs out in our lounge rooms on shows like The Masked Singer and Husey, We Have a Problem.
I am pumped up.
He's also part of the Mix 94.5 family on air each weekday from 6 p.m. Please welcome Dave Hughes.
On Mix 94.5, good morning, mate.
I'll never forget my start in Lake Street, Northbridge, Pockets Pool Bar, you know, a little bar next to the pool tables and doing stand-up comedy in the early 90s, guys. I was on the doll. I was girlfriendless. And look at me now.
Look at you now. You know, there's a movement to get a Dave Hughes statue put up on that corner.
There's so many of my... had so many firsts on that street, guys. I won't go into all of them, but it was a great street for me. But now I'm a happy family man, except for yesterday, Mother's Day. My children let me down.
Oh,
I'm not going to lie.
No. Did you leave it up to them to deal with the gift?
Yes. Well, you know, schools these days have stalls where they make some cash for Mother's Day. We know that. Mm. So, and at our school, our primary school, my 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and 8-year-old, it was $10 each, buy mum a present. And when we got to yesterday, two of them brought out incense that they'd bought at the school stall. Oh. One of them had a ring holder, and only one of them had spent all her $10. Yeah.
Right.
And she only spent the $10 on the ring holder because the stall had run out of incense. And the thing is, they were selling incense for $4.
What?
So, yeah. And apparently it was the most popular item amongst the children. And I believe it's because they were profiteering and pocketing the extra $6. I said to my two who'd only spent $4, where's the money? And both of them don't know where the money went. I don't know where the $6 has gone.
Yeah, you know? I have the same suspicion about my kids because we had the stall for my eldest daughter and sent her with a 20, a crisp $20 note, and she came back with nothing but a weird little plastic strawberry bag that you can open and take grocery shoppings,
right.
And another little bag with tea in it and a chocolate, which she gave to Mum and then asked for the chocolate back because she wanted it.
So hang on a sec, like this whole school mum thing, I drove past a couple of schools that had fates on. Are we making money off mums? Is that how this works?
Yeah, look, but it's a public school my kids go to, so I'm not against them making some money off the mums, but I'm against the kids pocketing the change. They should have to spend the whole $10. There shouldn't be anything worth $4. Don't let them make the decisions, you know. Whatever you're selling, it's got to be $10. So at least the money goes to the school.
I'm just so impressed that your kids love the smell of an opium den. That's what I'm so happy.
That's exactly how
you're doing a great job.
It felt like I was back on Lake Street in the early 90s.
Hughesy, it's lovely to catch up with you as always.
Good on you, legends.
We'll catch more of you this evening from 6 o'clock. Take care. We'll catch up soon.
Cheers.
Yes, the Crown Theatre on Saturday night. I went to see Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, yes, that is happening now in Perth.
Yeah, done by wonderful Platinum Entertainment, who I did We Will Rock You with last year.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, they've done it again.
Great.
It was nice. Terrific. It was an absolute hoot.
What was the mask sitch? Yeah, because obviously, you know, we're off the back of like COVID and all of that sort of stuff. And it was a little bit confusing as to depending on the event you were going to, masks or no masks. What was it like? What was going on?
We weren't wearing masks.
No?
And obviously I couldn't see the whole theatre behind me. So I don't know. Well, clearly they must have been under 1,000.
Mm.
Otherwise we would have had to wear masks.
Yeah, right.
So when we did We Will Rock You, we were under, I think it was 60% or 75% ticket sales.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, you did have pockets where you couldn't sell the tickets. So I'm sure that's what they did.
And Pete Rosethorne plays one of the drag queens. How was he?
He was fantastic. Really, really good. You know, we know Pete so well.
And he can sing.
Look, that's not a requirement.
I thought you were going to say, Pete, maybe.
Give us a call if you're
listening,
Pete.
Can I just say, nor is dancing, it turns out. But that doesn't matter. Coming from, you know, two left feet Diktinsky here, they do all of that stuff so very, very well.
Nice.
And it's really funny. Janelle Koenig, who, of course, we know, my old mate Luke Hewitt is terrific in it. It's a great show.
For anybody who's seen the original movie,
yes.
Obviously, you know, it was done in a different time.
Yeah.
The language that was in the movie just might not be the sort of thing that flies today with the filter we now have on in 2021. Mm. How did they get around that stuff?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because they did address that at the beginning of the show. There was a little announcement about the sort of old-fashioned attitudes that some of the characters in the show were about to portray. I guess just to sort of, you know, the last thing you want is an audience feeling uncomfortable.
Mm.
Yeah,
and
right.
If you can put them at ease straight away, it's like, it's okay to laugh at this. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to think you think like that. I guess it relaxes everyone.
Yeah, nice. Pete, Matt, and Kimber. Mix